This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are trading. December hard red winter wheat, 751 and three quarters, unchanged. March, 752 down three quarters. Soft December wheat, 677 and a quarter down four. March, 688 and a half down four. December corn, 430 and a quarter down one and three quarters. July, 458 down two. November soybeans, 1284 and a half, up five and a half. July, 1240 and three quarters, up three and three quarters. December soybean meal, 411, up 20. December soybean oil, 4155, up 58. October live cattle, 133.35, down 5 cents. October feeders are exactly where they started the day, 165.42 and a half. And December lean hogs, 91.37 and a half, and they are up 2 and a half.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing out of Windsor, Illinois. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
So this morning we got word, Matt, that South Korea feed millers purchased, 368,000 metric tons.
I saw that.
And that brings the total in the last 24 hours to 500,000.
Yes.
And yet corn futures are going nowhere fast, which seems to me an indication that traders have now become totally fixed on the supply side, yes?
Yeah, I think that there's definite reason to see that. I mean, obviously, on the overnight, we're a little higher. I think some of this news, when it trickles in, obviously gets some people a little bit anxious, and maybe the market is getting close to putting in a bottom. You know, obviously, whenever we're at a long-term bottom situation, people want to step in and maybe bottom feed. But bottom line on this, you and I both know this is a pretty good-sized crop we're talking about, so that definitely can overtake any positive information when you're in the thick of harvest.
So now we're looking out beyond these kind of numbers. We have export sales tomorrow, and this is going to be from October 3rd to date, which means last week. Numbers are expected to be very big. Can any of those numbers perk up this market?
Well, you know, like you said, in the last 24 hours, we've had some awfully impressive numbers. And so, you know, it would take something, I think, awfully big to maybe overtake the fact that, you know, some of these private estimates we're hearing are awfully, awfully impressive on the corn number, especially. You know, whenever you look at our situation this fall, most of us, especially during August and September, that weren't getting a whole lot of rain and saw most people weren't, didn't think those kind of yields were going to be possible. So, you know, if we come out tomorrow with awfully impressive numbers and we, you know, we were able to rally this market to any degree, I think that it'll be met with a fair amount of, you know, a fair amount of hedge pressure.
Looking at December futures, 430 and a quarter, July 457 and three quarters, it probably wasn't too far gone that producers were thinking $5 might be a decent price in cash for my corn in some way. Make the case for us that somehow between now and next July you can get back to $5 cash.
Oh, that's a tough case to make, but obviously whenever everyone's thinking one way, you got to kind of look the other way and see what there might be out there. And, you know, you and I talked about this a little bit this morning, but on the positive side of things, if South America is making the commitment to plant more soybeans to the tune of up to 10% with Brazil and Argentina, then, boy, that sure tells you that at least in the deferred months you might have a fair amount of strength, which, you know, could end up lending some strength to the nearbys. And so whenever you get farther along, maybe next summer, if we are able to continue this decent export pace, you know, and our demand picks up, then maybe we can switch, you know, from more of a supply situation where we're looking more at demand. I think that you may have to buy a few acres at some point. What levels you buy those from could maybe not be exactly what levels we're hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line is we can look for some strength based upon the fact that we might be one of the better games in town as far as the world export market goes.
And then let's make the argument on the bear side. I'm all now beginning to hear, technically speaking, numbers that have a three handle.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty tough, Dave, whenever you look at, you're getting into the point now where a lot of these guys that are picking maybe some of this later corn that they want to get in before the weather gets bad, and maybe it's some of their replant corn and it's a higher percent moisture,
mm-hmm.
it's got a three handle on it, you know,
yeah,
whenever you take
of
the drying.
The drying costs into effect.
So you know you're getting close to some $3 situations. And so, you know, from my point of view, if we end up making this a 160, you know, 2 to 165 crop, and we don't drop harvested acres as much as some guys are hoping for, you know, you're definitely going to be looking at a 14. You get a 14 crop in here, and that's kind of a tough row to hoe for this market to digest. And so, you know, I can definitely see us sliding, you know, longer term. I know our bean demand situation has obviously been very good for quite some time, but if we do have 10% more acres coming from South America and they have any type of growing season at all, it appears to be a pretty bearish situation for beans. So, you know, if we have a situation where beans are obviously going to have nowhere to go but maybe slide lower, that might be tough on the corn market to rally, even though we're trying to buy acres.
I was going to follow that up with the other foot, and we've now seen what happens with corn.
Yes.
And it seems to me, if all goes well in South America, the other foot drops with the beans come the spring, potentially to a level, we'll pick one, $10, $11, somewhere, but significantly lower than we are now. So I know a lot of people have priced all their beans because they were all great. But if you are holding on to a few beans, what is your risk management situation?
If you are holding on to a few beans, I mean, you know, I think most people have been fairly big advocates of going ahead and moving those at harvest, especially
right.
whenever you look at what your income situations are. You know, 65 bushel beans times $13, pretty easy to tell you're making money. But if you're wanting to hold on to those and gamble, you know, by all means, a person doesn't want to go into this thing without any protection. You know, to me, my risk management situation would be to price those things other than gambling bushels, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the ones that you don't, you know, ones you don't sell, I guess, a person can go ahead and maybe buy some put options. Those are fairly pricey, though, Dave. And
they are expensive at the moment.
Know, I think a bird in the hand's worth two in the bush on the bean market, and I really would highly recommend a person, you know, sell all the beans that that they are comfortable selling.
So now we're beginning to think about next year and the ratio, corn-soybean ratio, because producers need to start buying inputs for next year now. So as you look at this market, what's the market trying to tell us about the spring?
Well, I think there's obviously two different dynamics here. I mean, a lot of us saw that at one point we had the soybean market on the nearbys 3-1. You know, and so a lot of guys said, hey, you know, next year's going to be a big bean year. But, you know, we got to look at what the 14's doing. And, you know, we haven't been much more than a 2.2 or 2.3 to 1 all along. And that certainly isn't telling me that it's going to be a big bean year. Now, also, Dave, we got to keep in mind, you know, in a lot of areas this year, guys are pulling awfully big bean yields off. And I think that some of the guys that were heavily corn on corn for several years are thinking now, you know, maybe more of a 50-50 rotation isn't such a bad idea. So income-wise, I think some of the genetics we have in beans have maybe caught up a little bit to what some of the genetics in corn have been doing. And so by all means, I'm not saying that I think we're going to be having a huge corn year just because the ratio might implicate that. But in my opinion, I think what the market's trying to tell us is a couple of things. It can go either way, first of all. And second of all, I think when you look out to 14, we have to look really closely at what our input costs are and lock in some incomes now.
Okay.
Risk management for 14, I think, is going to be more paramount than it's been in a long time. And I definitely don't want producers to be saying what their ratio is going to be without some risk management in place.
Thank you, Matt.
Hey, thanks, Dave.
Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing in Windsor, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace. December corn, 431, down 1. July, 457 and a half, down 2.5. November soybeans, 1284 and a half, up 5.5. And July, 1241 and a quarter, up 4.25. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.